Good evening. First order of business, the Lusmatai. All right. Number one. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I appreciate it. I think it was Jim that asked me. Appreciate that. As with many times I've spoken, I usually take a message from what our family is going through. And again, this will be no exception. The message today that I have is preparation, which basically means readiness. Preparation, and I like to divide it into two sections. I like to make my case biblically for preparation. We're supposed to take the word not only in word, but also in example or deed. So we'll see what God has done as far as preparation. Does he believe in preparation? Does he use it? And then I want to go and shift to what we're doing in our family as far as preparation or the battles or the lack thereof. First example I found in the Bible is Noah. He built a big boat. He had to have a plan. He had to be prepared. It was not something that could be done at the last moment. It's not something that could be taken and waited on. It couldn't go to conference. It couldn't go to the design and get rejected and be voted on by the voters and all the rest of this nonsense. God wanted it prepared. He gave all the specifications to Noah, and Noah went to it. My grandfather was an electrician. One of the things he always had to me is plan your work and work your plan. And that's what Noah did. He was prepared. He planned his work through God's divine intervention, through his instruction, and then he worked the plan. And he was prepared for the flood, obviously. Psalm 23:5, thou preparest the table before me, in the presence of mine enemies. The second example, 23rd Psalm. God obviously believes in preparation because he said he's going to prepare a place for us. Prophecy. God is preparing the way for many different things through his prophecies, all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, especially the Old Testament as he prepared for Jesus to come down, how he gave certain prophecies along the way that would prepare people, that would indicate to people, that would be able to plan. Let's turn to Matthew 3, verses 1 through 3. Going on the preparation that God had made for Jesus to come, Matthew 3, verses 1 through 3, we see about the predecessor of Jesus, John the Baptist. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is what that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Basically, John the Baptist was a town crier for the Lord as he came on the earth. God wanted to be sure everybody was prepared for that. But there was a plan. Parables. Parables are good examples. And a few parables that show preparation, planning. There's a parable of the faithful servant that's found in Luke chapter 12. There's a familiar parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew. Turn to Matthew 25. We'll read that. Matthew 25, and we're starting verses 1. We'll read 1 through 13. The parable of the 10 virgins, all about preparation. All about being ready. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so. Let there not be enough for us and you. but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while he went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man cometh. Preparation. Well, the Bible is all about Jesus coming and allowing us to prepare for His second coming, allowing us to prepare for eternity. Everything is a preparation. Nothing is off the cuff. Nothing's left to chance. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 6. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Prepare now. Don't prepare later. Prepare now. 2 Peter, if you don't have to turn to that, 2 Peter 3:10 tells us that the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. Be prepared. If you have a house, if you have a burglar system on it, be prepared. John 14:2 says that he goes to prepare a place for us. All throughout the Bible, the Lord is preparing for us. All through the Bible, one of God's themes is preparation. And then one on 2 Corinthians 11:23 through 29, a familiar passage. 1 Corinthians 11. In 1 Corinthians 11, we'll start at verse 23. And this is the order and meaning of the Lord's table. For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, let a man come prepared, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, unprepared, eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, many times that passage, I believe, is taken as big issues. Why do they have to be big? If we're racing around getting to the meeting, if we're not thinking about the Lord, if we have other details, distractions, nothing bad, but just distractions, are we prepared? Are we prepared? Have we prepared our hearts and our minds for that meeting? Have we prepared it to hear the Lord? Our issue at home is the fact that we're not preparing too well. And Lori and I are trying to take this and straighten it out, but I tell you, it's like turning the battleship around in a bathtub. What happens Sunday morning if we're not prepared is we don't have our bags, the kids' bag, or Lori, or I don't have something. We don't have clothes laid out if it hasn't been prepared the night before. We get halfway here and it's, oh, I don't have this. We get in our seat, oh, I don't have my head covering. Or we get into the meeting and they're trying to concentrate on the word and something else will come up. They don't have their money when we're going to take the offering. The famous line is somebody took it. 20 cents, somebody took it. Every single week it could happen. And Michaela right now is hiding, I can see that. But to Michaela's, for Michaela's sake, Mommy and Daddy do it just as often. And I'm sure we're not the only family who does. I'm sure getting to meeting can be a real crazy experience. Those of you who have had kids or have kids say, oh, you're not kidding. It's hard enough getting a couple together. We got kids, oh, forget it. I'll tell you. The key, though, to all these situations is preparation. And preparation doesn't necessarily have to mean reading three chapters in the Bible. That's good. What I'm saying is the little details in our household that are getting us off track, that get us here, and our hearts and our minds are not prepared for that meeting because we had a whole bunch of nonsense going on. And Lori and I sat down, and this morning, we did better this morning, because last night we tried to prepare. Now, some things come up, and some things you can't prepare for. But if there's one thing that comes up and everything else is all set, that one unexpected thing you can handle. But when you got a whole bunch of details, as our family has, and then we get here, and there's all kinds of problems, and at 9:30, we sit in the seat, it's very hard to get our minds on what we're there for. And it's simply a lack of preparation. And if Jesus had got distracted and wasn't in Jerusalem and was somewhere else and wasn't crucified and he happened to just get distracted, we'd have a problem. Now, I know he's God. I know that. But what I'm saying is he's given us the example. He's told us that he as God prepares. And I know preparing, he could think things into existence, but that is not the point. He has given us the example. We need to prepare. There was a coach in college. And if you've ever seen a press gathering for coaches that are going to the Super Bowl or maybe into the national championship for college. And these press conferences, they get around, and basically the media asks stupid questions. That's all they constantly ask the same stupid questions each and every year. What is your game plan? Like that coach is going to give his game plan for a week on national TV. The other coach isn't stupid enough, obviously, to say that if he did give a game plan, he'd believe it. But they still ask all these ridiculous questions. But it intrigued me because there was a question asked to a coach that was going into the championship game, coach from Nebraska. And they asked him one of the usual questions. Do you think your guys, your team, have the will to win? Now, normally you get some patent answer because the coach wants to blow them off because they don't want to deal with all this nonsense. They got bigger things to do. But he turned around and he said, you know, I don't ask my players whether they have the will to win. Because that's not what is important at this point in time. The question is, do they have the will to prepare? Do they have the will to prepare for that game? I know they have the will to win. We're one of two finalists. We're going into their final game. I know that. The question is, do they have the will to prepare? We have the will to be at this meeting, my family. But the question is, do we have the will to prepare so we get the most out of that meeting? Do we have the will to do what it takes so that we're appropriate, that our mind is appropriately, that our hearts and minds are prepared to receive what the Lord has for me? Fail the plan, as a boss told me this once, you know, if you fail the plan, you may as well plan to fail. If you fail the plan, you may as well plan to fail. If we don't get it together and prepare, then when our family, my family, comes here, we may not get as much out of that meeting as we should. when we fail the plan, we may not be able to give to the Lord what we should at the remembrance meeting. We might not be prepared to worship how we should to a God that's died for us. All because of failure on our part to plan. I was getting a part once at a Ford dealer. And they had a sign up there in the parts department, and it was good. I enjoyed it. It said, failure to prepare on your part does not necessarily constitute an emergency on my part. It's that simple. Now, if you're in private business, unfortunately, their failure to plan becomes your problem. And that's where the world's gone crazy. That's where responsibility for our own actions has gone way off. But it's true. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. What I'm trying to do for our family is to be here earlier and be still and think and just meditate, even if it's no noise at all. At 10 to 11 this morning, Joy started playing the piano. That was really good. Thank you, Joy. I went to a church at one time, which they had a banner over as you went into the door. Enter to worship, leave to serve. Enter to worship. And the organist would start at about 11, just playing hymns. The idea being, if you wished, that you could come in, hear the hymns, gentle hymns, be still, and prepare yourself for the meeting. I have problems with my kids down there between meetings, and they're usually pretty good about coming up. But when I come up, when they come up from my friends, it's not their fault, so I give them permission to do it. So I hold myself responsible. And these are my kids that I hold myself responsible for. But when they come up, I can realize that they're really excited, and I guess that's okay for kids, but so many times we're not prepared. I'm trying to get them up earlier. Today they got up at 10 to 11, the piano started playing, and these kids were quiet. It's kids' golf. I mean, there's certainly... But they were understanding that they were at Sunday school, that they were coming into the Lord's meeting, and that they could meditate a bit on it, which is basically, you know, lecture stuff at the table, and they're, you know, looking at a lot of books and all that kind of nice stuff. Not racing around like crazy, getting all hot and sweaty, coming up and getting to the drinking fountain because the line's so long, we get up here late. Man, that's a business meeting. I am guilty of this. When I sign up for something, do I prepare for the next meeting? A month. In some way or fashion. Do I prepare properly to do the Lord's business, something that I have taken on? Or if I can't get to it, have I called someone? Have I asked for help from one of my fellow brethren here to say, listen, this is bigger than me, or I couldn't get to it? Because when something's not prepared for in the Lord's business, He may not honor that. Because it's a two-way street. We pray for guidance. We pray for to be good stewards with the money, and then we don't prepare when we're asked to. We don't prepare when we've taken on a project. I have done that. The rest of the men will have to answer for themselves. I have done that. I am guilty of that. I do believe also that the question I have, I guess, now I want an answer back, but think, should the Lord's business be conducted on the Lord's day? I think not. That's my personal opinion. Now, I'm not talking about worshiping the Lord. I'm talking about the Lord's business. See, if we have a business meeting on Friday for the Lord's business, then the Lord's business is done on Friday because it's business. But Sunday is the Sabbath. Just because it's the Lord's business, we should be prepared Friday. We shouldn't be doing the business of the Lord on Sunday because Sunday is the Sabbath. We should be doing the worship of the Lord, not the Lord's business. I have done that. I went crazy on that when I was at Berkshire. And I was wrong. I used to do a lot of things between meetings on Sunday mornings at Berkshire that I was chairman of the business meeting. And I'll tell you, running around and all that, I was wrong. Again, I am talking about myself in this regard. I'm giving you my personal experience that what my lack of preparation has made me feel like, what I've missed out on. Awana. Now that's an interesting study. Very interesting study, Awana. Now, Michaela, I don't want to mention Michaela. She's my daughter, so I don't want to pull her into it. But she does a lot of sections. And the reason she gets a lot of sections is not because she can speed read and memorize everything in 5 minutes when she gets to handbook time. For those who don't know Awana, you have a half hour of handbook time, which is your learning God's Word. You have a book. Half hour of game time, and then a half hour of singing and a message. But I asked someone who does very well 2 weeks ago about how he does so many sections. And that was Mr. Quinn Reeve, who does a whole bunch of sections. And there are others who do a lot of sections. There are some that don't do any sections. But I asked, well, Quinn, what's your secret? You can do 7 and 8 sections. And he looked at me like I grew horns, like I was stupid. I said, well, I prepared them at home. And yet, you'll get some kids who continuously come in and then try to learn everything in the half hour and say it and get credit and get it signed off at. Now, there are some kids there, a lot of kids, not a lot, well, we'll say half that, come from homes that aren't going to be able to help them prepare. And that's a burden that I've had. I don't know what to do other than encourage them. But you can see the difference between preparation and no preparation. And I know that's a no-brainer to everyone, but if you look at it as a one, it's extreme. 7 sections versus struggling through. Another thing I observed at Awana is those, and Tim Reed brought this out too, those that are not prepared tend to be a distraction to those who are prepared. While those who are prepared are saying sections and getting it done and making it happen, those who aren't prepared very quickly get frustrated. And then very quickly end up, unfortunately, many times, to be a diversion. I pray that my preparation, I'm trying to correct my preparation so I am not a diversion to my fellow brethren. I don't want to have lack of preparation on my part cause problems in a project or in a ministry or something like that. Because that's affecting our gathering. And it's affecting the Lord. I have an obligation to be prepared if I've taken on responsibilities in the assembly so that I not only get them done, but I am not a negative influence. I'm not a diversion. I don't throw the train off the track. Now, worship service, Uncle Dave always says, and I agree with him, that when you come to the worship service, you're there to give worship to God. You're not there to get. I guess you may get, of course, I do, from some of the things that I said, absolutely. But you're there to give. And I got thinking about this in terms of preparation and how I come into the meeting and what my mindset is when I come into the worship meeting. Now, Uncle Dave will tell you, and again, I believe he's right, is that when you're in the worship meeting and you hear things and you're studying, you're led to do something. You're led about a verse or something comes from a song or something like that. My question to me then is, if my mind isn't correct, then is the Lord going to bother leading me? Maybe if I don't have anything to say, it's because I don't have the right mindset. Me. It's not God not giving me anything. But if I don't come here prepared, then why should I expect God to spend His time leading me? I'm sure He's got better things to do. I need to come here prepared to be led so that I can worship the Lord in an appropriate way. These are the struggles that I'm going through to get here and to be in the right mindset. I don't know how your family's doing. I'd be very happy to talk and get any ideas from anyone. I believe that as an assembly, we have to be sure, and as individuals, I think the Bible compels us to make sure that we are prepared in our mind and our spirit for our meetings. That should be my focus for my family, is that we are ready to have this meeting for what it's supposed to be. To get preaching in the Sunday school hour, to worship in the worship meeting. And if there's all kinds of things going on, before at home, in between at break, it's not going to happen for me and my family. My family and I are not going to be in the right mindset. I am responsible for that. Because I am the head of my household. And I am responsible for making sure that I am prepared and that I have an atmosphere at my house so that my family is prepared to come here in the best fashion possible. I have to be sure that in between break that my children get up here and get quieted down and not coming in at 30 seconds to 11 o'clock huffing and puffing and sweating for Sunday school. That is my decision. That is my responsibility. And it's something I will be held accountable to. Because when I'm not prepared and they're not prepared, I'm acting as the head of the household as a diversion. And they're probably better off if I wasn't involved. But that's not going to happen because God says I am responsible as the head of that household. We need to set a tone in our families, and I believe we need to set a tone in our assembly for being still and being prepared ahead of time for our meetings and coming in with the right attitude and being on time and getting ready to do what we're supposed to do. This is a very precious, precious assembly. This is not the Elks Club. This is not for entertainment. It is vital for me that it happened for my family so that this assembly here is given, that I'm given the proper chance to guide my children in the way they should go. And I have spoke before about the fact that I need everyone's help here. As a family, as an extended family, as a family of God. I just laid this upon me. The Lord has been really dealing with me in the last month, month and a half. As I've seen how when we come in and analyze why we aren't ready at 9:30, spiritually, why it didn't happen. It's not the fault of anything. to follow my attitude to fail to prepare. Now, Lori and I are taking that November 30th Sunday school, which is a split session. In those, we split them, of course, so we can get dialogue going, women with women, men with men. Men, I'm going to tell you that my message is going to be, help me on what you do to prepare for these messages. What you do to prepare your hearts and your minds and your family's hearts and minds. What you do in the morning, if you do anything special, to prepare your family to come in a calm atmosphere for Sunday school or for the worship. I'm asking for your help. And that's what I will be clinical speaking on. And I'm hoping to get a dialogue because there's some folks here who have gone through there with kids maybe able to give me a lot of hints. And there's people here with young kids that could probably take a lot of hints. And I'm one of them. That's what I had laid on my heart today. We anticipated that meeting, so I had shortened up the message, but that's okay. Let's take number 57. If we could, Joy. Number 57 in closing.